Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Jeff Allen is our guest, too, ladies and gentlemen. He's with us. He's our new friend. He's the chairman, the founder of a company called AnyStream. And he's got several years' experience working in the world of high-tech and sales, marketing, product development, and execution. He's founded a couple of companies before this one. And by the way, he's also a member of the Young Entrepreneurs Organization. That tells you he doesn't have as much gray hair as I do, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get him in here. He's our new friend, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. I think television has gone to St. Louis in a handbasket. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's
and no offense against St. Louis, by the way.
Certainly, but it's certainly changing. And, you know, the most recent example of the change is the loss of many of our favorite shows, you know, starting with kind of the late-night comedy, news, satire, political shows and entertainment like The Daily Show and Letterman and Leno, et cetera, to prime times. And that, you know, that's a symptom of kind of the economics that the networks are struggling with. And
when you say the loss of those, some of those shows are still on. I'm not sure.
They're all on, but they're almost all running reruns, or they're running out the slate of shows that they already have in inventory that are produced because of the writer's strike.
Because of the strike, right?
Right. And that really is a symptom of kind of the entire industry, from the producers to the writers to, I think you'll see next year, the Directors Guild and the Actors Guild, Screen Actors Guild coming up. There's a lot of pressure on this new world, you know, moving away from television because it's not drawing the ratings, moving to alternative outlets, but it's small and hard to measure. And what do you get in the meantime? You know, you're getting an increasing stable of reality shows.
Well, and that's been going on now for some time. I mean, I have to admit, I have a confession to make. I watched the very first Survivor series. With the first year it was on, I watched that and I enjoyed it because I'd never seen anything like that before. But I will tell you, after that one season, I've never watched any other. Okay, all right. The one where they have the banker on it. What's that called?
I don't know.
You know. Anyway, there's one there where there are about 40 beautiful women lined up there with briefcases. Okay, I admit I've watched that a few. I've watched that a few times, but just because they had the 40 beautiful women there. But
right.
But anyway, other than that, I don't watch the things. And basically, is it safe to say that reality television has ruined television as we've known it?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. But what I'm saying is that you're starting to see increasing number of consumers turn elsewhere for video programming. So, you know, they're going to YouTube, they're going to the net, they're viewing things on the iPod, they're downloading things over the net, and none of those things are supported by the commercial advertising model, which drives virtually all of the production of television today. And what's happening is, as these people shift away and as the advertisers start seeing this, whether it's things like the TiVo or the DVR that people skip commercials, or it's things like Xbox, right, that drive people to use other things with their time, what's happening is, to take up the slack, the studios have figured out that reality programming, which, you know, some of them, I personally, like I said, my dirty secret is I watch American Idol, right? Shoot me. But I think it's good entertainment, but that's an exception. Think about the economics. It costs them nothing, zero for talent in the grand scheme of things.
No,
they're not
right.
Union protected, and they turn the staff over every year.
Yeah.
It's about as good as economics as you can get for a producer.
I remember something when they were doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They were talking about what a moneymaker that thing was.
Right, and that's the same thing. You know, so my point is, if you see advertisers that are not willing to pay the same amount because of, you know, audience flight, or they can't measure it well, the way you make the same or more money is you reduce your production costs.
Are young people watching television, or are they watching YouTube?
It's a good question. You know, well, the answer is they're still watching television. Everyone still watches television, but there's two major things. We're watching less and less of it, and we're watching less and less of it in real time. We're time shifting. And
yep.
Clearly the younger demographics, right, which are the most coveted by brand advertisers, people mm-hmm. that are just starting to become, you know, young adults and adults.
And you can still manipulate them. See,
well,
you get a grizzled old guy like me. You get a grizzled old guy like me, you can't manipulate me. But
right.
you can manipulate a 22-year-old, maybe.
Well, you know, you can say that, but the way the advertisers look at it is these people have not made brand decisions yet for the rest of their
lives. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're still forming. I didn't mean to say that they didn't have their own mind. I meant they're still forming their opinions. You can you can encourage them, you know, in through advertising.
Right, and that's the whole goal of it. And you know, historically, the goal has been let's pick a program that we think this demographic might be interested in and advertise there.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of the net is you don't have to do that. You can actually build, you know, anonymously a pretty decent profile. Or you can just look at the search terms, and they tell you exactly what they're looking for.
Right, right.
And that's the power of the net.
It democratized advertising, didn't it?
It has. And you know what? This is actually a great thing, because you think about this.
I think so, too.
I have one of my savings. Everybody hates to be sold, but boy, do we love to buy.
Yep.
And if somebody helps you buy, you thank them.
That's right.
And that's what the benefit of targeted search advertising is. If the ads come up, hey, in the best case, it doesn't annoy me because I'm at least looking for it. And
mm-hmm.
best case, I find what I'm looking for. They help me buy it. That's
well,
great.
And we're already pre-programmed to that. I mean, we've been watching free TV that's been advertising supported for 50 plus years.
Right.
And so when a little banner pops up on a website or whatever that we're watching, we're okay with that.
Well, and
as long as it's not the dancing monkey.
Right, or it's not some blinking, annoying, irrelevant thing. And,
right.
and what you said is, you know, it used to be television was all we had, so it's kind of like we didn't know better. There were no alternatives. But I call advertising on television really kind of plagued by the three I's, which are it's irrelevant, it's irritating, and as a result of that, it ends up being, it's irrelevant, it's irritating. And it ends up annoying me as well. And the reality is you don't get that on the web today. You get things that are more targeted to you, and people flock to where they find.
Well, if you don't like it, it's you're a quick click away from being the heck out of there. And
that's
so,
a great point. And,
yeah.
You know, television didn't used to have that. It used to be that's where the game started and ended, and now you've got the net.
Is it ever going to see? It seems to me that the television industry is not defending itself against this. They're not fighting against their competitors. I want to get you to comment on that when we come back after these messages. And you won't be surprised that Jeff has his own idea about how to deal with this. And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Winners or losers, we keep going on. That's the story of small business, isn't it? We're all failures. We've all failed. If you haven't failed, you haven't been in the marketplace very long. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. You're going to fail. The question is it going to be big failures or little failures? And are you going to be able to ride through them? Are you going to be able to emotionally deal with that and recognize that failure is the harness made of success? I love the Atlanta Rhythm section, don't you? They have such great songs. And a lot of their songs mean a lot to small business owners. I know I found a lot of myself in their songs. We're back. It's 23 after. We're visiting with Jeff Allen, founder of IndieStream. And by the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please check it out. Use it to your advantage. You can find our show there. You can podcast it. You can check out our blog. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes on Sunday by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds of Brain Trust members, lots of stuff there, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and also our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. We've anticipated your questions. We have answers waiting on you. And nothing that we have is going to cost you anything. No barrier to entry. If you can show up at our website, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us. Jeff Allen is our guest. As I said, he's the founder of IndieStream. We're talking about the future of television. And Jeff, I made a statement as we went to the break, and I said, it seems to me that television is not defending itself. It's not looking around and saying, okay, this is what's happening, and you know, we're losing viewers, we're losing market share, we're losing economic opportunity because people, you know, don't like this junk that we're putting out. Why don't we go back to the old way? And it seems to me, and I don't know, what do you think?
Well, you know, the problem is that we as people have kind of this innate need to want what we want, when we want, where we want it. And, you know, before the Internet, before mobile devices like the iPod, that wasn't a choice. So they could essentially dictate the terms. It's available at 8 p.m., they'll put the top show on, and they're going to sell their highest value advertisers. The problem is that doesn't work anymore, and we go other places for entertainment.
But is it because of the programming, not because of the eyeballs?
Well, part of it is because of the programming, but I contend a fair amount of it, which drives our business, is just the changes in the trends in viewing behavior. And we watch things on demand. We watch them later. We'll pick, like, news, for example.
I do that all the time.
And what happens is that major change in viewing behavior is attacking the ad model, which is the revenue source, and that's what's resulting in perhaps not the same quality content.
But that's been going on since the remote, Jeff.
It has indeed, but it is accelerating dramatically.
You know, if you said to me, okay, your refrigerator or your DVR, I'd have to think about it.
Slingbox?
No, yeah, I don't have any of the box. Any of the boxes. TiVo. I don't have TiVo or anything like that. But I have DVO. DVR. I have DVR,
which
is where I can record shows and
as an advertiser, those are the same things.
Anything that
allows you to watch it either at a different time or skip it. Yeah.
Anything that gives me control.
So the only thing that's really insulating, the only thing that's kind of immune to this major shift is truly television events like American Idol, where you need to be there. It's live and it's audience participation, or the NFL or Tiger Woods and the PGA.
But I record golf all the time and play it back later.
Yes, well, and I do some because I travel, but I got to tell you, that's certainly the exception. I mean, we have the data. We know. Those are the events that continue to...
So what's the alternative? What do you see coming down the pike? What's the biggest enemy of television?
Well, I'd say the biggest enemy of television is the status quo, right? They have to change. They have to adopt and adapt. And I said earlier, right, you know, the example about Google, they've raised the entire bar to what advertising should be. And I mean the consumer interaction, the ads.
Right.
They said earlier, the three I's. Their ads aren't interruptive, they don't stop you, they're not irritating, and they're not irrelevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it holds true that anything that has your behavior, whether it's a person, a friend, or an ad, is going to kind of annoy you. So television has to change to become more relevant to people's lives so that people don't feel compelled to skip ads.
What does any stream do? Tell us about where you fit into all this.
Well, we build software for the major media companies like CNN, NBC, HBO, Fox, NFL, et cetera. We've got 700 of these guys all around the world, about 40 countries. And what our software does is help them manage these problems. So the first thing, you have to produce it for all these different devices, you know, a set-top box or an iPod or the web, the different formats, different way they display the video. So you actually have to create the video differently.
Some of it's regular video, some of it's HTML, some of it's XML.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And there's Flash video formats and QuickTime and Windows Media.
Right.
And then you've also got things that didn't used to exist in these. Now you have what we call overlapping windows, right? It used to be it showed up on television, then at the end of the year it showed up on a DVD.
So this is a way to migrate the television programming to all these different formats?
That's right, and also all the different distribution outlets. You can buy the office.
So how's this going to save television?
Well, what it does is that, you know, this writer's strike is all about carve up the new revenue, the new world revenue from on-demand. Well, the problem is there's not as much revenue from on-demand, but it's growing. And the problem is distributing to all these different sites costs more money.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is help them save, become much more efficient, and help them enable to make their content available on outlets and also be effective with advertising.
Very interesting. See, this, you got this whole world going on out there, folks, you probably didn't know much about. And, Jeff, I want you to come back another time real soon and tell us about your entrepreneurial story. I want you to tell us about
it.
I bet you've made a mistake or two, haven't you?
I got a lot to talk about failures.
That's the one. Those are the ones. We know about the good ones. We want to hear about the bad ones. Hey, Jeff, come back real soon. Give us your website, please.
It's anystream.com.
Anystream.com. Check it out, folks. It's pretty cool. Thanks, Jeff. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Quick break. Right back with my dear friend, Leslie Kossoff.
standing in.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.